After spending weeks and weeks and weeks surrounded by snow piles that are several feet high, it is easy to forget that those huge piles are made up of tiny snowflakes. And, of course, no two snowflakes are alike, or at least that's what we've all heard. David Brooks writes the weekly Granite Geek Science column for the Nashua Telegraph and GraniteGeek.org. He has ventured forth into the snows to get some answers, and he joins me now with some of what he's learned. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Now, before we get into the snowflakes, it is worth noting that you talked with a researcher at a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers facility that studies snow, and there are actually quite a few weighty topics in snow research.
It is. This is the, they call it CREL, C-R-R-E-L, for the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Lab. It's up in Hanover. And they study all sorts of, as the name implies, cold-related stuff. They're really interested in things like, how do you make your equipment work better? How does the Army make its equipment work better when it's in polar regions? That's the kind of thing they started out doing. But the research they do has extended enormously. Actually, a big area of research right now is trying to measure how much moisture is in snow. The same 2 feet of snow can be quite different. I mean, we've had some really light, fluffy stuff that you could shovel, you know, with a broom oftentimes, and the amount of moisture in that is fairly small, even though it's 2 feet high. And if you're a region like out west that counts on melting snowpack in the summertime to provide some of your water, you want to know how much moisture is out there. So that's the sort of geeky research they do up there.
For the snowflakes, when you started to look for answers on this, did you think that the old adage really was true, that no two snowflakes were alike, or were you convinced that this was just an old story that everybody told?
Well, come on. I'm an objective journalist. I always approach things quietly. And no, of course I wanted to put it down. I didn't think it was true. I thought it was stupid. I thought I'd be rubbing my hands with glee saying, I'll get to debunk it and show how smart I am. That's why I called Krell and ended up talking to Zoe Corville, who's a research engineer there. I called up and said, hey, I want to talk to somebody about snowflakes. And they said, we'll get right back to you. She pointed me to, and eventually I found this lovely paper that came out in 2006. And what a couple researchers did is they calculated all the ways that a snowflake can grow. And they're only talking about what you and I think of as snowflakes, is the six-armed sort of star thing. They're called stellar dendrites. They just calculated that. There's other shapes of snowflakes as well. But just looking at that, they conclude that the number of possible snowflake shapes is 10 raised to the 10 raised to the 13 power, which is a 1 followed by 10 trillion zeros, which is a number so much larger than any conceivable anything that it could exist in the entire universe combined that it's just, you just can't even begin to think about it. They then estimated, and this is great too, they tried to estimate how many total snowflakes have fallen in the history of the world. And they came to the conclusion that only, and I love the word only, 10 to the 40th power, so a 1 followed by 40 zeros. That many stellar dendrite snowflakes have fallen in the history of the world. Now, 10 to the 40th power is, again, a number so staggeringly monstrous that nothing that humans or the entire solar system would ever encompass a number that large. But despite that fact, 10 to the 40th is so much smaller than 10 to the 10 to the 13th power that they conclude that the odds of any two snowflakes having been formed exactly the same are zero. So therefore, yes, each snowflake is unique.
The question that's been on my mind thinking about this is, does knowing that each one of these tiny little stellar dendrites that makes up these enormous snow piles make the work of moving said piles any less aggravating?
Let me think about that. I believe the answer is no.
I noticed you didn't have to call Krell to get that answer.
No, I did not. I won't say I've had too much of it this year, but I hope that April isn't like February.
You and me both. David, thanks so much.
You bet.